Good afternoon, Pilgrim. I was just perusing the works of John Newton. John Newton. Voluntary Suffering is a sermon I was just reading through here. So let me begin by reading a verse from Isaiah. Isaiah 50, verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Well, that which often passes amongst men for resolution and a proof of a noble, courageous spirit is in reality the effect and mark of a weak and a little mind. At least, it is chiefly owing to the presence of certain circumstances which have a greater influence upon the conduct than any inherent principle in the person. Thus may persons who appear to set death and danger at defiance in the hour of battle, while they are animated by the examples of those around them and instigated by fear of the punishment or shame they would incur if they deserted their post, upon a change of situation, as for instance on a bed of sickness, discover no traces of the heroism for which they were before applauded, but they tremble at the leisurely approach of death, though they were thought to despise it under a different form. It was not true fortitude. It was rather a contemptible pusillanimous behavior that determined the celebrated Cato to destroy himself, commit suicide. He was afraid of Caesar. No, it wasn't a heroic act at all. He was afraid of Caesar. His dread of him after his victory was so great that he durst not look him in the face. Therefore he killed himself to avoid him. To the same meanness of sentiment we may confidently ascribe the pretend gallantry of modern duelists. Ah, to have a duel. I'm glad those are done with. They fight not because they are not afraid of death, but because they are impelled by another fear, a fear which makes a greater impression upon a feeble, irresolute mind. They live upon the opinion of their fellow creatures, and they feel themselves too weak to bear the contempt they should meet with from the circle of their acquaintances if they should decline acting upon the false principles of honor. False principles of honor, which pride and folly have established. They have no resolution sufficient to act the part which conscience and reason would dictate. Therefore they risk their lives, they hazard life and everything that is dear to them as men, rather than dare to withstand the prevalence of an absurd and brutal custom. Patient enduring of affliction, especially of disgrace and contempt, to which characters the world most admire, are confessedly unequal, is a much surer proof of true fortitude than any of those actions which the love of praise, the fear of man, or even a mercenary attachment to lucre are capable of producing. True magnanimity, greatness, is evidenced by the real importance of the end it purposes, and by the steadiness with which it pursues the proper means of attaining that end. Undisturbed, unwearied by difficulty, danger, or pain, and equally indifferent to the censure or scorn of incompetent judges, this greatness of mind is essential and peculiar to the character of the Christian. I mean the Christian who deserves the name. His ends are greater and sublime, to glorify God, to obtain nearer communion with him, and to advance in conformity to his holy will. To attain these ends, he employs the means prescribed by the Lord. He waits at wisdom's gates and walks in the paths of dependence and obedience. He therefore cannot conform to the prevailing maxims and the pursuits of the many, and is liable to be hated and scorned for his singularity. But he neither courts the smiles of men, nor shrinks at the thought of their displeasure. He loves his fellow creatures. He's ready to do them every kind office in his power. But he cannot fear them, because he fears the Lord God. But this life the Christian lives by faith in the Son of God. Jesus is the source of his wisdom and strength. He likewise is his exemplar, his example. He is crucified to the world by the cross of Christ, and the principal reason by his indifference to the opinion of the world is the consideration of the manner in which the Lord was treated by it. He is a follower of him who said, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." We may observe from the words that the humiliation of Christ was voluntary, that it was extreme. I'll take this up tomorrow. God bless, Pilgrim. Have a great afternoon.